We have been studying the book of Exodus, second book in the Bible, and right now we're looking at the Ten Commandments. So guess what chapter we're in? Chapter 20. And this is actually lesson number 37 in our study of Exodus, and we'll begin the lesson tonight in verse number 12 of Exodus chapter 20. Verse number 12. And we're in the middle of those commandments, the commandments which set the tone for all of God's law, and they're known as the Ten Commandments. We have covered the four commandments that deal with man's relationship to God. Those commandments are, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. People normally don't think of that part of that commandment. They think of the, thou shalt keep my Sabbath, or you'll rest on the seventh day. They don't think about those 6 days of work. We talked about that last week. But there, God has given four commands that relate to man's relationship to God. Now we move tonight to the six commands that have to do with man's relationship to his fellow man. And it begins with the 12th verse, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All right, let's talk about that one. keep in mind that these commandments are given by God to one people and one people only. They're given to the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, some of these commandments are given to the New Testament church as well. And in no uncertain terms, God states that what he commanded his earthly people in the Old Testament, he has also commanded his heaven-bound people in the New Testament. And in Ephesians, if you want to look at this, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1, here's where you'll see this commandment repeated to the church. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now it's very interesting. Only one of these Ten Commandments carries with it a promised reward for obedience. When God told the people, thou shalt have no other gods before me, there's a period. That's it. I'm not going to do anything special for you if you do that. I am special. Everything I do should be appreciated. My grace, my kindness, my love, and so forth. But here in this commandment, the people were told that they may. It's possible. There's a possibility God would permit long life in the promised land if they would honor their father and mother. In the New Testament, the possibility is offered, I may grant you long life if you will honor your father and your mother. All right, now we got to talk about some things here because these verses have been rebelled against by children since time began, and these verses have been misused by some parents since time began. And there's great confusion that hopefully we'll be able to clarify tonight in the few moments. First of all, in Ephesians 6 verse 1, children are told to obey their parents. Children, not adults. Children, not grown men. Children, not grown women. Children. It's absolutely necessary for the due order that the family unit be preserved for the order of society, for the order of the human race. God did not begin with don't kill. He didn't begin with don't commit adultery. He did not begin with don't steal. We will get to those. He began with the orderly structure of the family unit, that parents, plural, a father and a mother, not two men, not two women, not one woman, not one man, a man and a woman were to give commands to their children. And as we've seen earlier in this study, those commands were to be God's commands, God's words. What you command your children, it's been commanded and taught to you as the parents. And so before you get to don't kill, you have to have a father and a mother in place teaching that boy, teaching that girl that life is precious, that God is holy, and that murder is wrong. Before you get to thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and the rest, you have to have a God-fearing father and a God-fearing mother commanding that those children obey authority and do right, whether they understand it or not, because they are told to do right. That's the foundation. That's the first commandment. That's the necessary, essential principle. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verses 11 and 12, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? This promise of long life and many days, it's connected to having a proper fear of the Lord. And parents are responsible to teach that to their children. Now, this command is not obey your father and mother. Okay, it doesn't say that. In Ephesians 6:2, the command is not obey your father and mother. It's children. Children must obey their parents, but once you reach maturity and now you have a life of your own, a home of your own, an income of your own, responsibilities of your own, and so forth, you are now to honor your parents. Okay, children, obey your parents, and then when you're grown up, honor your parents. Now, what were parents supposed to do when you were a child? They were to command you according to God's word. How do you then honor your parents once you are an adult and you're no longer under their authority? You just continue to live in accord with the commandments of God's word. Okay, that's how you honor your parents. They taught you how to live right according to God's word. Well, don't go against all that teaching growing up. Stick with it. Live right. Keep on living right. That will honor your parents. Now, is an adult, let's say it's a 40-year-old man. Is an adult, well, maybe it's a 35-year-old woman, are they supposed to obey their father and their mother? Well, let me ask you something. Jesus said to a man, follow me. And that man said, I've got a father at home. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Follow me. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you've got a daddy? I'm sorry, I apologize for asking you to be my disciple. Go see if it's okay with your dad." Jesus said a man's foes would be those of his own household. If he didn't hate his father, hate his mother, he couldn't be Jesus' disciple. Now you get a 25-year-old man that gets saved this week, and his dad says, "We're going out drinking Saturday." And he says, "No, Dad, I don't do that anymore. I'm a Christian now." And his dad says, "I'm telling you, we've always gone out and gotten drunk on Saturday night. We're going to go out this Saturday night and get drunk." So are you telling me that that 25-year-old man has to obey his father and go get drunk? You're wrong if you do. It doesn't make any sense. It's not scriptural. It's not logical. It just makes no sense at all. So what did God command? He commanded children to obey their parents, parents who have been commanded to command their children to follow God's word. And then grown children, who are now adults, honor their father and honor their mother by continuing to live in accord with God's commands and in the fear of the Lord. If you're a young man or a young woman, and your mama, your daddy, took you to church, taught you about Jesus, led you in the paths of righteousness, kept you from this world, introduced you to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you get out on your own, you're making your own money, living your own life, and you turn your back on God, turn your back on church, and on the faith of your father and the faith of your mother, you then are dishonoring your parents. It's a sin against God just as sure as killing, stealing, or bearing false witness. It's a sin. Okay, let's look at another one. Verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Now, the liberals, who often don't like to use the brain that God gave them, pervert this verse beyond all recognition. Thou shalt not kill is interpreted, though, by the Holy Bible as thou shalt not commit first degree premeditated murder. And you know, think about this. God told Noah. God told Noah to take 7 pairs of clean animals into the ark, because when he got off the ark, he would kill some of them for food and kill some of them for sacrifice. A liberal would say, "Oh, that's murder. They murdered those animals." According to God, that's not murder. God sent the Hebrew people across the Jordan River into Canaan to wage war against people that God considered unfit to live. Did you ever think about that? People complain about that all the time. When they want to try to point out how bloody this Bible is, they'll point to things like that. All the people that God told those Hebrews to slaughter. Well, then that means it was right. Okay? In fact, God sent the fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent the floodwaters crashing down on that Egyptian army in the Red Sea. It was God who directed that stone from David's sling right into the forehead of Goliath. So you understand that thou shalt not kill, it's referring to murder. Well, let me show it to you in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 17. Jesus told a man to keep the commandments. In verse 18, he, the man, saith unto him, Jesus, which, which command? Jesus said, thou shalt do no what? Murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, when Jesus, God Almighty, when Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, when he quotes Exodus 20, verse 13, he says, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt do no murder. No reason to wonder what that means. Jesus told you what it means. Now, in Numbers 35, chapter 35, we learn that if a man takes another man's life by accident, manslaughter, that's the term, the manslayer, that man is not guilty of violating Exodus 20, verse 13. Which, by the way, murder according to God, and murder according to the Word of God, is a death penalty offense. If you murder someone, you are to die. You are to be executed. The Bible says in Numbers 35, verses 16, verse 17, and verse 18, the murderer shall surely be put to death. The man who murders another man is to be put to death swiftly, speedily, without mercy, or the blood of the one who was murdered would remain on that nation and defile it. Numbers 35, verse 33 says, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. That's the word of God. Every time you refuse to execute the murderer, your nation gets more and more and more defiled until it's the most ungodly place on the face of this earth. On the other hand, provision is made for the defense of and the sparing of the life of the man who commits manslaughter. He didn't plan to kill someone. It was an accident. Okay? And maybe you didn't know that. That's in the Bible. It's also Numbers 35. You ought to read that sometime. So the man who accidentally takes another life, he finds mercy. The man who murders, no mercy for him. Thou shalt not kill. And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Verse number 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Got that? It's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty clear to me. But we're in love. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, my husband was mean. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, my wife, she's just really let herself go. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, but I was tempted. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You got it? It's very clear. Thou, that means you, that means me, that means anybody. Anybody that can read God's word, thou shalt not, that's the negative, don't do it. Thou shalt not what? Commit adultery. Very clear. Now, Hebrews 13 says it this way. And you talk about a promise. This is a promise you might not like. It's a promise connected with a commandment. Watch this one. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse number 4. Hebrews 13, 4. The Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, here's the promise, God will judge. Well, I'm sorry that you live in a day and age when adultery is so common and so widely accepted that it carries with it no shame or humiliation. Hardly anybody in your town would think evil of you if they found out that you were committing adultery. Would you agree? Hardly anybody would think badly of you. And you know what that means? That means hardly anybody in your town has escaped the judgment which has turned them into a reprobate. Because that's what God promised. That's what it means. Just because your society has changed does not mean that God has changed. Just because your culture has become an animal, savage, barbarous culture doesn't mean that God has changed his mind about this. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's a promise. You understand that the Bible is very clear. If you are not married, you are to have sexual relations with nobody. That's the Word of God. That's the Holy Bible. And if you are married, you are never to have sexual relations with another person as long as that person you have married is alive. That's the Bible. It's very plain. It's very easy to understand. It's very clear. That same Bible says if you violate that principle in some way or another, the judgment of God will visit itself upon your life. You can count on it. That's the scripture. And I didn't write the scripture. So don't get mad at me. You'll be better off just to live by the word of God than you will be to live by the lusts of your flesh. You'd be better off to work as hard at obeying God as you work at finding some liberal preacher on his way to hell to help you justify violating God's clear commands of both the Old Testament and the New. No adultery, period. So keep your clothes on. Keep your eyes, put your eyes back in your head. Go make your marriage work. Stop looking at junk on the computer. Stop daydreaming about him, about her. You have a husband, that is your man for your lifetime. You have a wife, that's your woman for your lifetime. You don't have a husband, don't have a wife, never been married, better choose carefully. Because whoever you marry, that's who you've got for your life. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, well now, preacher, that's kind of old-fashioned. I think what you're saying is kind of outdated, don't you think? No, actually it's not. It's still God's word for today. It's for today. All right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, then, back in Exodus 20, verse number 15. Look at the next one. Thou shalt not steal. You don't take something that doesn't belong to you. you are not entitled to another person's possessions. Now, if you see something and it's just lying there on a table, you have to consider the fact that that thing did not just evolve there. It didn't grow there. It didn't just appear there for you to take. You know, if it was not purchased by you with your money, or it was not given to you as a gift, guess what? It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. And you can't take it just because it's lying there. I'm amazed at mothers and fathers who just seem to feel no need to teach their children to keep their hands off of things that don't belong to them. Oh, look at this. Oh, let me pick it up. Oh, look at this. I want to play with that. Oh, look at this. Let me eat it. It's not yours. It's not yours. So whether you're hungry and you need to rob a store, or you're out of work and you need to rob a bank, there's no, you look at the Bible, there's no footnotes here that says, you know, don't steal unless you're in a situation that you think it makes it okay to steal. Okay? In fact, Proverbs says, sure, men might justify you, a man might justify you in some instances if you stole under duress, under pressure. There's many a man who would say, well, I get that. I understand why a person in his situation would do that. But God said, thou shalt not steal. Now, let me paint a scenario for some of you. I'll warn you ahead of time, and I think most of you here, you've heard this before in this church, but understand this. What I'm going to say makes a lot of people really, really angry. Because like all human beings, people like to justify their sin. But it is sin. But if you like the truth of the Word of God, I think you like this as much as I do. But some people just really can't stand it. So, you ready? Here it is. If I walk into your house with a gun and force you to give me your money, and then I take your money that I stole with a gun and use it to provide myself with a place to live and with groceries, I am what? A thief, right? Thou shalt not steal. That's what the Bible said. Now, I'm sure every one of you here agrees with what I just said. Okay, well, how about this? How about I go to work? I work hard all week. And at the end of the week, the government puts a gun to the head of my employer and says, you will give us 25, 35, 40% of that man's paycheck. And he gives... My employer gives 25, 35, 40% of my paycheck to the government. And then the government gives it to you to pay your rent and to buy your groceries. And you say, oh, I get my check from the government. You're lying. You don't get your check from the government in that case. You get your check from working people that the government robbed out of their money to give it to you. You know what the Bible says? Thou shalt not steal. If you are living off of the wages of somebody else, and that person did not voluntarily give you that money, you are a thief. No matter if it was the government that took it out of my pocket or you took it yourself. You're a thief. Now, you know what the Bible says in the New Testament? It said that someone who lived like that has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, if you're living off of stolen money, Listen, I don't know who's saved and who's not, but I do know this. If you're living off of stolen money, you're not a Christian. God says you're worse than an atheist. You're worse than a Muslim. You're worse than a Hindu. You're worse than an infidel if you steal from one man's family and claim that by stealing, you're just taking care of your family. You're worse than an infidel. How about that? That's a message I'm sure would go over real nicely on a radio or TV ministry, wouldn't it? That'll make a welfare recipient call all their friends and say, man, you ought to listen to this program. But you know where we are in these days? These perilous times? You know where we are? We are living in a day when people just do whatever they want to do and live however they want to live, and they just ignore God's word, thumb their nose at the Holy Bible, and then call themselves Christians, Christ ones, followers of Jesus Christ. Not so. Both the Old and the New Testament said to Israel and to the church, God said, honor your father and your mother. Both the Old Testament and the New, God said to Israel and to the church, thou shalt not kill. Don't murder anybody. God said in the Old Testament and the New, Israel and the church, thou shalt not commit adultery. Old Testament and New, Israel and the church, God said to both, thou shalt not steal. Couldn't be any clearer. I don't think so. Every child should know these truths and be taught to live and function within the boundaries that these truths establish. Every adult should know these truths and should be governing their flesh and submitting themselves to the Lord so that they're living in obedience to all of these clearly stated truths in the Holy Bible. You say, well, I don't know if I like that Bible. Listen, if everybody in the world, think about it, if everybody in the world was not killing, not stealing, not committing adultery, you have to admit, it'd be a better world, wouldn't you say? You know it would. And God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's talking about. I trust God, don't you? I know we'd be better off if we would just obey God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes or giving us a reminder of your holy commandments and for showing us, Lord, that these particular ones do apply to us and we ought to take heed. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have a sincere desire in our hearts to be walking in your ways according to your will and in obedience to your commandments, that we may have a life that will be pleasing to you and that will go smoothly because you've led us in the right paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.